this morning. I bring you greetings in the name of Christ. I don't know what you expect. I know what God has given me. I want to read from Romans chapter 1. I have entitled the message, Spiritual Psychosis. You may wonder, how can that be? Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. I'd like to read this as a springboard to this message. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Backing up to verse 28, we see the degradation of man, of humanity. In verse 28, reprobate, if you look that up, it means behavior that is not respectful or morally correct, void of judgment. Spiritual psychosis. In the spiritual sense, you could look at this in James 1, verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded twice. Soul mind, it can mean doubting. Or a doubter, wavering. Unstable means unsettled or unsteady. So as I think of psychosis in the spiritual sense, maybe we should define psychosis. Psychosis is a serious mental illness such as schizophrenia, characterized by defective or lost contact with reality,
often with hallucinations or delusions. Delusions. These are false beliefs that are not based in reality. For example, you think that you're being harmed or harassed. Certain gestures or comments are directed at you. You have exceptional ability or fame. Another person is in love with you, or a major catastrophe is about to occur. Delusions occur in most people with schizophrenia. Hallucinations. These usually involve seeing or hearing things that don't exist. Yet for the person with schizophrenia, they have the full force and impact of a normal experience. Hallucinations can be in any of the senses. They can be in any of the five senses that we have. But hearing voices is the most common hallucination. Disorganized thinking or speech. Disorganized thinking is inferred from disorganized speech. Effective communication can be impaired, and answers to questions may be partially or completely unrelated. Rarely, speech may include putting together meaningless words that can't be understood, sometimes known as word salad. Extremely disorganized or abnormal motor behavior. This may show in a number of ways, from childlike silliness to unpredictable agitation. Behavior isn't focused on a goal, so it's hard to do tasks. Behavior can include resistance to instructions, inappropriate or bizarre posture, a complete lack of response, or useless, excessive movement. I usually don't relate much about my work, but this is something that we work with a lot. Brother Sam would understand. This message was born quite a while ago. It was in the hopper for quite a while. And it was born from a resident that we had, and he had delusions, he was paranoid, he was in his own little world. And he kept walking around. He couldn't stay in group much. He'd walk out the door, and then he'd stop, and then he'd say, "I think my dad is here. I think my dad is here. I think. Well, do you think he's here?" And then he'd walk around, and he'd look, and I followed him all the way throughout our facility, and he was oblivious that I was behind him. And he was just, "I think my dad is here. My brother just called, didn't he? He just called, didn't he? I think he did. And then he'd look at me and "Did you hear him?" That's just one instant. And that may be for weeks. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And as I was following that man, I kept thinking, how miserable is this person? And as I walked behind him, I thought of this title, Spiritual Psychosis. How often is God saying, "Glenn, where are you? Don't you get it? Where are my people?" Romans 1. Did these people get to the point they were overnight? No, they didn't. It started in a slow way, a little bit at a time, and it got them to where we are in Romans 1. I wondered sometimes if God sometimes wonders, "My people, my churches, where are you at? We have instruction to follow. I gave you my word. Where are you? Aren't you listening?" I'm reading through Isaiah and Jeremiah. Continually, God is asking, my people, where are you at? They were God's people. I'm not saying we're heathens, but do we have things in our life that are leading us towards this position? He says they were given over to a reprobate mind. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. For this cause God shall send them, what? Strong delusion. That they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I trust that's not our motivation, is to live in unrighteousness. But dear people, God has given us direction to live by. Are we living by His direction? Osama bin Laden said this, the U.S. wants life, we want death. Is that natural? Coming from humanity, we want death. We want all men to be put to death. Is that delusional? I think it is. How do we think? What major problem gives believers in Christ the most trouble in the 21st century? It is probably the same problem that dates back to many thousands of years. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded or unstable. So what exactly does it mean to be double-minded? Could it be that when I know what I should do, but soon find myself doing the exact opposite? I think each one of us has a heart after God. I think we all want to do that. But I don't know if you're like I am. Sometimes I shouldn't have been doing this. How did I get here? Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that I may know him. What is my intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do I really know him? Do I have a hunger and thirst for his righteousness? Paul in the book of Philippians instructs the believers to have the mind of Christ. And in order to have the mind of Christ, we need to nurture and take care of that. Our love and devotion and affection are to be for our Lord first and foremost. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Living for him means we are Christ-centered in our beliefs, thoughts, and actions. But James, in James 1:14, warns us that we are tempted when we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. And that's where these people were in Romans 1. It's because they lusted after things. And if you read through the Old Testament, that was a problem with the children of Israel. Over and over and over, they forgot God. The word lust here is the word for desire. It's the diseased condition of the soul. James warns us that this desire blinds us, enticing us to pursue the object of our lust. Our desire is to relieve or fill an emotional, physical, and ultimately a spiritual need. We look to other things to fill the need that we have with God. That's why we have all kinds of addictions. We have all kinds of abuse. Because people are looking to have that void filled, which only God can fill. Only God can fill that void. Our minds and hearts are drawn away in directions other than Christ, creating schisms or split within us. We may think we are serving God, but we are really serving our own selves. My dear people, it's a real danger that we can be caught up serving our own selves, living for our own selves. As I mentioned before, people often find themselves immersed in wrong behaviors like addictions, eating disorders, bad habits, impulsive actions, and many other dysfunctional thought patterns and feelings. Anger, unforgiveness, revenge. Nobody is going to tell me what to do. I am going to do it my way. Paul said in Romans 7, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of this of the from the body of this death?" I think people get caught up in that sometimes, and they wonder, is there any way out? Is there a way out? I am here to tell you there is a way out, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's through Jesus Christ. It's not through suicide or hopelessness. There is hope because Jesus is the hope giver. These things that people find themselves causes disharmony within a person that feels like splitting or tearing inside. People develop physical or emotional symptoms, becoming agitated, fearful, having anxiety, panic attacks, depression as a result. People become derailed in their thinking and motivation. James reminds us when sin is finished, it ultimately brings forth death. It brings forth death and separation from God, from others, and from ourselves. Double-mindedness comes from brainwashing and deception of Satan. He wants to distort our view or our lenses of truth. Yea, hath God said? Did God really say that? Do we really have to do this? Some biblical examples. Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. Were they disillusioned? Abraham said a truth, not the whole truth, about Sarah being his sister, and then later slept with Hagar. David had a lustful relationship with Bathsheba, then arranged to have her husband Uriah killed. Jonah traveled the opposite direction to Nineveh, or at least he tried to. Peter denied Christ, even after Christ himself had warned him that this is what you're going to do. Peter said, "No, I would never do that." Has anybody in here thought similar thoughts? I'd never do that. I've had people tell me, "I don't know how I ever got to this place. It's not my life. This is not what I want for my life. How did these people in Romans 1 get to this place? It was little by little wearing the person down. After the mountaintop experience that Elijah had, he runs off and hides his life when his life was threatened by the woman Jezebel. Israel wanted to be like the nations around them. They wanted a king. Was that God's best plan for them? I don't think so. But that's what they wanted. In Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar was proud and arrogant. Oh, isn't this the great kingdom that I built? And Daniel pleads with him, can you repent? These are my words. Can you repent? This is what's going to happen. Can you repent? Come back to God. And what happened? He ended up 7 years out with the cattle until God got his attention. What applies to us? I've had people tell me, I love God. I think I'm okay with God, but I can't stand this man. Is that delusional? That's not according to God's word. Or I can view porn and it won't affect me. Nobody will ever know. You catch yourself pretending to be someone other than who you really are. Something that's never been a temptation before is now something you're considering. Some people thought they would never divorce their spouse, who now are divorced and think it's okay. What happened? Did God change, or who changed? Is sin no longer exceedingly sinful? The question is, how do you view sin? It seems what our forefathers viewed as sin is no longer sin, or it doesn't apply to our time. John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. What? And the truth shall make you miserable? Shall make you free. It has a freeing effect. But I need to have my mind centered on what is true. My question is, could it be that my belief system is wrong sometimes? Could my belief system be wrong sometimes? Second Corinthians 10, 3-5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, or anything that exalts itself against God or what God thinks about it. Casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So it's not safe to base my life on imaginations, a reasoning not according to truth. We dare not believe that we are that which we do not know to be absolute truth. Or suspicions, which means uncertainty, believing lies will open my life to satanic strongholds. Assumptions, assuming you know the truth when you actually don't. Surmisings, guesses, or that guesses think we know but don't know. He says we are to take those things into captivity. We need to get rid of those things. So what is truth? Pilate asked in John 18. We live in a world that is conditioning us to lies. We need an accurate view of lies and truth. Where do lies come from? John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not, is what Jesus was telling them. Lies are beliefs and attitudes and expectations that don't fit facts or reality. It's not what is true. Who is truth? God is truth. Jesus is truth. We get freedom through truth. Truth is an absolute. It's an absolute. It will always be true. It will always stand. The truth of the word will always stand. Truth is God. Truth are absolute facts. We are sinful people. We tend to be selfish and we tend to be resentful. Truth is God's established knowing. It's what God says about it. Following God's instruction brings peace, joy, and contentment, a fulfilled life. In order to enjoy freedom, we must forgive. We must forgive. I don't care if you believe, if you're a believer, if you're an unbeliever. In order for your life to be successful, you need to forgive. That's the cornerstone of humanity, is forgiveness. You need to forgive. When people think right, they will do right. Thoughts bear after their own kind. Proverbs 23:7a says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Living in truth will keep us healthy. The truth will set us free. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. As we understand the mind of Christ, the life of Christ, we will be willing to fill our role where we are. I don't think we'll be looking for excuses not to do this or that, or to go here or there, but because God has redeemed my soul from misery and destruction, I am more than happy to do what I am called to do in his kingdom. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I think this is a yardstick. Have I become new or not? Am I willing to fill my role in his kingdom? I wish I had a picture here of our retaining wall before and after. Our old retaining wall was a total disaster. The new one gives you a desire to be at that part of our house. The old one didn't. So as we become new creatures in Christ, I trust people will want to be with us. We will not be that old grouchy person that we were. We will not be that old angry, sinful, revengeful, whoever. People will want to be with us. Spiritual psychosis. What kind of voices are you listening to? What kind of voices am I listening to? We become what our thoughts are and what our thinking is. Let's bow our heads to pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that if we follow your instructions, life can be pleasant. It can have meaning. It can have we can have joy. We can have peace. But if we start to listen to our enemy, life becomes one roller coaster, and we go downhill faster than what we are aware of. Sin will always take us further than we ever thought it would. So God, I pray that you would help us to check our lives. May you help us to look at our lives and to see, should there be anything in there that we need to make right with you? We want to serve you. We want to follow you. We want this congregation to continue to be a beacon, a shining light for you, to those that are looking within us here. Guide our day. Be with those that are not able to be here. I pray your blessing upon this congregation and on our day. I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.